This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this.
You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
Posted on July 4th on mediacoop.ca, the Greek Council of State orders the suspension of Eldorado gold activities in the Skouras Forest. From Maria Karoglu, residents of Haldiki fighting against the massive gold, copper, and base metals mining project of Hellas Gold, a subsidiary of Vancouver-based Eldorado Gold, have won an important victory. On June 29th, the Greek State Council ordered the temporary suspension of implementation of Decision 7633-2012 of the Macedonia Thrace Regional Administration, which ceded 3,270,000 square meters of public forest to Skouras to Hellas Gold to be used for mining activities. Under this order, Hellas Gold is forced to stop drilling, logging, and all other activity which might harm forest growth until there is a decision by the Committee of Suspensions on the suspension requested filed by the residents. It will be a long time, if ever, before Hellas Gold mining projects in Haldiki can be developed. The projects are fiercely opposed by a large part of the local population that relies on tourism, forestry, and agriculture. Hellas Gold's environmental impact statement was approved by the government in July 2011, but the approval has been challenged by residents at the State Council. Furthermore, Hellas Gold needs to have a modified investment plan and technical studies for all its operations approved. Without these important approvals, no mining, plant construction, or even site preparation can begin. Strong legislation there. Hellas Gold / Eldorado has decided to bully its way toward implementation of its projects before acquiring all its permits. Since late March 2012, the company has taken over the area of Skouras on Mount Kakavos in order to start site preparation for a massive open pit mine. The Skouras project is the main source of conflict with the local people because the dense forest of the mountain is the main source of fresh water for the entire area. The mining company fenced off part of the mountain with barbed wire, placed traffic control systems, and hired hooded security guards to prevent access to the site. Hidden from all eyes, in late May, Hellas Gold started implementing a drilling program at Skouras. And in late June, it began clearing the area from its unique old-growth forest. Logging was done illegally by mine employees because the local forestry cooperative opposes the mine and refused to raise the forest. As a legal justification, in these actions, Hellas Gold used Decision 7633/2012 of the Regional Administration, the legality of which has been challenged by residents at the Council of State. Residents also asked the Council to suspend logging activities to ensure that forest stays intact until the final verdict. During these past 3 months, residents opposing the destruction of the forest were repeatedly confronted with mining company employees and police forces. In a series of events that have often turned violent, on March 20th, 500 mine workers under company orders attacked 30 mine opponents in the Skouras Forest. On March 25th, after a demonstration and march of some 2,500 people against the expansion of mining activities, the riot police protecting the occupations of the forest by the mining company threw tear gas and flashbang grenades at peaceful protesters. There were frequent tensions between residents and company hooded guards at Skouras, and on April 23rd, a local court ruled that blocking access to the forest was illegal. Sadly, Hellas Gold used a state council suspension order to deepen the division among communities. Company officials blamed mine opponents and as responsible for the layoff of 25 newly hired workers. No mention was made to the questionable legality of the company's activities at Skouras. As a result, on Saturday, June 30th, four residents opposing the mine at the village of Megali, Panagia, were attacked and beaten. A group of miners roamed the streets of the village for hours, terrorizing residents, destroying anti-mining banners, and threatening mine opponents. They would burn their homes if the project didn't go ahead. Almost 300 people have been hired since the beginning of the year, solely for public relations purposes, as Hellas Gold does not have necessary permits for the expansion of its activities. In 2002, the people of Olympiad and in Halidiki managed to cancel the plans for another Canadian mining company, TVX Gold, for a gold mine and plant near their village. Today, despite the deep economic crisis, resistance to gold mining is much more widespread than it was a decade ago. And we're going to kick it to a tune. This is Bling Is Dead, Test Their Logic. Again, that's Bling Is Dead from Test Their Logic.
And Bling Is Dead. Test Their Logic is pleased to present their newest single, Bling Is Dead, a direct assault on the bling culture and the extractive industries. Bling Is Dead combines a sinister beat produced by Young Jibwe with a lyrical beatdown of Bay Street executives. It is also a warning shot to blinged-out rappers who make their modern-day slave masters rich. Stop collaborating in the genocide. A disproportionate amount of the world's leading mining companies base themselves in Toronto's financial district, from which they murder, displace, and impoverish millions of people while ravaging and colonizing the earth with total impunity. To add insult to injury, it's all so that rich people can stay rich and flaunt it in our faces. Hip-hop heads are looking at the rich like a meal now, not role models to emulate. That's why millionaire pop rappers need police protection while they perform their catchy advertisements. On the street, they're more likely to get their change snatched than to be asked for an autograph. The only reason we still pay attention to them because real hip-hop seldom makes the airwaves on mainstream outlets. Still, the pompous arrogance of the bling-bling lifestyle is played out. We're getting the change off our necks and taking back this culture from the corporate parasites controlling it. We're turning off the radio and listening to each other. Some rappers haven't gotten the message yet, so let's make it louder. This is a call to every MC across Turtle Island to record or send us a pre-existing track for an upcoming compilation album against bling, colonization, mining, economic slavery, and the domination of capitalist logic in hip-hop. Hopefully, this project can be used as a springboard to develop anti-colonial and anti-capitalist hip-hop collectives and networks, and a wave of rebellion on microphones everywhere. Send tracks and bios to testtheirlogic@gmail.com. Do it quick. Check out testtheirlogic.com for that. And now it is. Bling Is Dead. Test Their Logic. AWOL Radio.
Yeah. Bling Is Dead. Bling Is Dead. Test their logic.
Test their logic.
Bling is murder, bling is dead. Fuck getting rich, get free instead. Bling is warfare, bling kills kids. A profit mercenary mining executives. Bling is murder, bling is dead. Get that chain from around your neck. Bling is pompous, bling is toxic. Bling's killing the earth, come on y'all stop it. We don't need no more dirty gold. 20 tons of toxic waste for every ring that's sold. Exploration, devastation, earth's getting probed by Bay Street mining companies. No soul, they want it all, pillage every last inch. Blow the world to bits, turn the mountains into pits. Spilling toxic waste in the rivers, killing fish. Turn the water black, using mercenary shit. And we don't even need it, it only has value. Cause we believe it, like the money we spend. It's all fiat, and just like money, we can't eat it, still billions starve while the mines expand. Either get displaced or die taking a stand. Colonization and every gold band, cause most gold is stolen from native land. Bling is murder, bling is dead. Fuck getting rich, get free instead. Bling is warfare, bling kills kids. A profit mercenary mining executives. Bling is murder, bling is dead. Get that chain from around your neck. Bling is pompous, bling is toxic. Bling's killing the earth, come on y'all stop it.
Yeah, for real, fuck Goldcore, fuck Barrick Gold, all these evil fucks, test their logic.
Planetary killers have names and addresses. Storm their fortresses with flames, pitchforks and shit.
Villains make killings, make billions, kill children. James Bling and Grace filling for these necklaces.
Executives like Def Living, example Peter Mark.
Twin brother of the Reaper, this evil little fuck.
Called Gold Digger, his soul sicker. He sold his soul for blood blinging, so warm from such sin and death bringer.
For that bling on your finger, Grace getting
getting bigger while they bringing major figures. Mercenary thugs with their fingers on the trigger. It's murder, death, kill for a little bit of glitter. What's sicker than bling? It's blood and violence for gold and diamonds. Death and mining. Are you reminded of all those that were killed for some stupid shiny rock all up in your grill? Fuck bling is murder, bling is dead. Fuck getting rich, get free instead. Bling is warfare, bling kills kids of profit, mercenary mining executives. Bling is murder, bling is dead. Get that chain from around your neck. Bling is pompous, bling is toxic. Bling's killing the earth, come on y'all, stop it.
Grassroots communities around the world are rising up against gold mining, one of the most destructive types of mining in the world today. It creates mountains of waste, poisons massive amounts of water, and targets indigenous peoples and rural poor. Bling only serves to enforce vanity and a sense of security in the rich. Rise up against the Earth Destroyers. Support movements for self-determination and mining justice worldwide.
It's Bling is Dead. That's from Tesla Logic. AWOL Radio, 100.3 Sound FM, soundfm.ca. AWOL Radio is on the web at peaceculture.org and on the Rabble podcast network, rabble.ca/podcasts. From the Briar Patch magazine.com, our home on native land, the celebration of colonization in Canada. As people across Canada mark the 144th anniversary of Confederation on July 1st, I cannot find reason to celebrate alongside them. This is from Susanna Deranger on July 1st, 2011. Every Canada Day, I reflect on the continual theft of my land and resources, on broken treaties, on the genocide of my peoples, and the refusal to recognize my sovereignty. I sit and wonder if the Palestinians could celebrate the settlement of Israel. Could the Irish celebrate England, the Tibetans China, or the North Africans France? It would be strange indeed to celebrate the birth of a nation that stole my land, forced hardships on my people, and won't recognize my place in this nation or all that my ancestors lost and sacrificed for this home on my native land. I know that there are other indigenous peoples who feel the same. I know that there are others, like me, who see this as a day of conquest and not a reason for fireworks. I also know that there are non-indigenous allies who feel the same and who understand my sorrow and pain. Canada Day brings tears to my eyes and an ache in my heart. As Canadians celebrate Confederation, I will be commemorating the sickness, starvation, and death of my ancestors. As a result of colonization and greed, to make way Canadians to have all they have today. They were sick, starving, and dying as a result of the annihilation of the buffalo. Yes, it is capitalized because they are sacred. They were sick, starving, and dying because of bioterrorism in the form of smallpox-infested blankets, an act sanctioned by the British Crown that wiped out 95% of the First Nation population in some areas in Canada. As Canada celebrates this day, I reflect on estimates that during the late 15th century in Canada, the indigenous population was estimated at 2 million. However, as a result of outbreaks of infectious diseases, combined with loss of territory, forced relocation, and repressive policies, the indigenous population was diminished to 10,000. This adds to the final count of 14,700,000 indigenous people wiped out in the Americas since Christopher Columbus' so-called discovery of North America in 1492. These figures are denied and avoided. No one wants to acknowledge this genocide, nor do they want to admit that this genocide continues today in the form of resource extraction and downstream pollution, poverty, racism, and lack of access to those things that most Canadians take for granted. As Canada celebrates this day, I reflect on the idea that Canada would not exist if it were not for the Indigenous people who fought alongside the Crown against the colonists south of the border, only to be treated worse than animals and herded into an ever-decreasing land base. This Canada Day, I reach out to you all and appeal to your consciousness and ask for you to reflect on what you are celebrating. I ask you to reflect on what this day means to Indigenous peoples on the territory you are living on that has given you so much. I ask that you dig deep inside yourself and think about how you can work together to rectify the colonial legacy of Canada. I ask you to walk with me and others to truly create a place that is worth celebrating. I ask that you stand up to create a Canada that acknowledges the wrongs of yesterday and today, and paves the way for dignity and respect for all peoples tomorrow and all of the tomorrows that follow. Susanna Deranger is a member of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation and has been an activist and educator involved in First Nations and human rights for a great part of her life. Susanna lives in Regina, Saskatchewan, and is a mother of four children and a grandmother of four grandchildren. Check out that article on Briar Patch, briarpatchmagazine.com. We follow up with mentioning a very strong editorial posted or commentary posted in the Globe and Mail by Drew Hayden Taylor called White People. Here's your one-time Canada Day special. Native people apologize back. And it's a, I mean, it's a scathing critique of colonial culture, the project that the ongoing project, which is Canada, the colonial and racist project, which is Canada, which continues, as we just read, with the genocide of Indigenous people here. Well, there's ongoing resistance to that, and a press release, or press notice from the Tsleil-Waututh. Tsleil-Waututh peoples opposed to modern treaty seek injunction against treaty vote, and this was released July 5th, 2012. The Tsleil-Waututh people opposed to the Tla'amin final agreement have filed an injunction to stop the proposed vote on July 10th, 2012 against the Tsleil-Waututh Treaty Society and the Tsleil-Waututh Chief and Council. They will appear before the BC Supreme Court at 800 Smythe Street on July 5th. The Tsleil-Waututh Treaty Society and Tsleil-Waututh Chief and Council had gotten an injunction on June 22, 2012 to prohibit the Tsleil-Waututh people who blocked the treaty vote on June 16, 2012 from blocking the next treaty vote scheduled for July 10th. The reason the Tsleil-Waututh people who oppose the modern treaty is that the proposed treaty will extinguish their Aboriginal title and rights under the modification provisions. Furthermore, there is a total lack of legitimate membership and voting rules regarding the proposed vote scheduled for July 10th, 2012. They cite that the United Nations under the Committee for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination did make observations to Canada regarding the Tsawwassen Final Agreement that methods of voting and monitoring must be transparent and money should not be used as an inducement to produce a result. The Tsleil-Waututh Treaty opposition state that there are no transparent rules regarding membership and voting, and that massive amounts of money had been given by the government to get a yes vote. Continuing colonization. Well, more resistance. First Nations oppose the Ring of Fire mining projects. The Neskatana First Nation launched court action by Tim Gross from the Toronto Media Co-op, toronto.mediacoop.ca. Mining companies are hungry to extract resources from Ontario's Ring of Fire, a mineral-rich area of northern Ontario. The province's premier, Dalton McGuinty, describes the area as Ontario's oil sands. However, last month, five First Nations in the area issued a moratorium on mining development, and on July 5th, one of those nations, the Neskantaga First Nation, brought a legal challenge against Cliffs Natural Resources and the province. Cliffs Natural Resources are proposing to create Ontario's first chromium mine and 360 kilometers road to access the mine. Neskantaga First Nations say that the company has an aggressive timetable to build the road and they have not fulfilled their duty to consult on the $3.2 billion project. Quote, "This is about a small First Nation in northern Ontario standing up against an American mining bully, hell-bent on making a road and a mine no matter what First Nations say," said Chief Peter Munias of Neskantaga. He continued, "The McGuinty government continues to ignore First Nations and is desperate to see this Northern Ontario mega project go ahead." Unquote. The courts have said that Crown's duty of consultation arises early in the process. To be meaningful, consultation must take place before key decisions are made that advance a project, explained Matthew Kirshner, the lawyer who represented Neskantaga at the Ontario Mines and Lands Commission, a Toronto court that deals exclusively with issues related to mining. The courtroom was packed with nine people who traveled from Neskantaga and their many supporters from both nearby First Nations and Toronto. Quote, "As this is a legal matter, we are not at liberty to comment at this time," Cliffs told the Toronto Media Co-op in an email, adding, "Consultation is the duty of the Crown," just off-putting the responsibility. First Nations treaties were negotiated with the British Crown. In this case, the province of Ontario acts as the Crown, as it is the charge of the regulating mining. Quote, Ontario and Cliffs has gone a long way down the path towards building this project without Neskantaga input, and that is a problem that must be addressed, said Kirshner. This is a massive project that will open the Neskantaga homeland for the first time, threatening the Neskantaga's rivers, fish, wildlife, and their very way of life, unquote. Quote, we have constitutional and Aboriginal and treaty rights on our side, and we hope the mining court can help us put this project on hold so proper consultation process can begin, said Munias. Neskantaga and five other First Nations who issued the moratorium on mining in their territory put 22 companies on notice that they would be evicted unless a government-to-government process is established to deal with the issues of importance to First Nations, including social and environmental needs. Munias acknowledged that their legal fight is, quote, an uphill battle, unquote, and emphasized the difference between the amount of the money that big corporations are able to spend on court cases compared to the amount of money that First Nations are able to spend. Quote, we will exhaust all the options of the justice systems before we consider other resorts, such as peaceful occupation of the land, unquote. And again, that's First Nations people oppose the Ring of Fire mining projects, posted on toronto.mediacoop.ca by Tim Groves. And following up to that, an Alberta man attempting to run across Canada for charity was arrested in Quebec for taking his journey along the shoulder of the busy Trans-Canada Highway. It's a criminalization of charity, even. Trying to raise funds for the Edmonton Children's Hospital, the police pulled him over, gave him a ticket, gave his driver a ticket, and are fighting his continuation of his voyage. To raise funds for the Edmonton Children's Hospital, where, of course, many of those impacted by the poisoning effects or the toxic effects of the Alberta tar sands are receiving treatment. One of the most disgusting pieces I've seen in a very long time, this one's from the Winnipeg Sun, it's an editorial saying there's no need for an inquiry into missing and murdered women, blaming First Nations themselves for the 500-plus missing and murdered women and children on Turtle Island, in Canada's version of Turtle Island. And it's disgusting. I can't believe the Winnipeg Sun wrote that. And it's disgusting to see that, you know, some of the most power in our society, those who control the media, those who control the papers, the news outlets, are writing racist diatribes, fascist diatribes against, you know, Indigenous people, against the student strikers in Quebec. We're getting to a situation. I mean, we're not where Greece is right now, but what's being driven against us is a fascist uprising that without, like, it's incremental, and without continuing resistance, it's going to overtake us. Well, speaking of continuing resistance, the Anti-Colonialist Working Group crashed the British consulate in solidarity with Black Mountain Irish Republicans in Belfast, Ireland. Posted today, members of the Anti-Colonialist Working Group crashed the British consulate in Toronto, demanding justice for the victims of the loyalist mob violence on Black Mountain during the recent Queen's visit to Belfast. Today, members of the Anti-Colonialist Working Group from both Kitchener and Toronto unfurled a 5-yard-long blood-red banner inside the British consulate. It read, British Death Squads Out of Ireland, in bold letters. We demand to speak with someone to read our statement and ensure that a copy be forwarded to the unelected British Secretary of State of Northern Ireland, Owen Patterson, said one of the protesters. Continuing, we are greeted by the Acting Consul General, whose voice was full of fake concern. Good old-fashioned British politeness, which is so sickly sweet and irritatingly dismissive, he said, quote, if you had booked an appointment and I knew you were coming, I would have worn my suit, unquote, which basically means he would have had made arrangements to have more cops. What a pig. After reading our statement and bringing up our concern about the police services of Northern Ireland, the PSNI, provoking and facilitating this attack, making it clear that they are no different than the RUC, the Royal Ulster Constabulary. Afterwards, we engaged in the nauseating exchange of bullshit pleasantries and took to the streets to picket. We handed out 300 flyers and received enthusiastic responses from passersby, Irish immigrants, concerned families, and members of the working class. We salute the brave people of Belfast who are holding steadfast to their ideologies in the face of mass political repression. We demand the end of British occupation of the six counties and the freedom for all Irish political prisoners and prisoners of war. That piece was posted on julianickham.wordpress.com. Continuing the resistance is in Brazil as indigenous groups attack police station in Para. An officer was hit in the arm by an arrow during the attack on Monday in the remote town in the Amazon jungle after members of an indigenous group burned down a police station. Officials said that 60 Munduruku indigenous people attacked the station after a judge released two suspects in the murder of a tribesman. The Munduruku man was killed in an armed robbery in June. Police said tribesmen sacked the station in Jaracaranga and seized three guns before burning it down. Police Commander Silvio Mona said the attack was prompted by the decision of a judge to release two of the four suspects arrested over the murder of Munduruku on June 23rd. Mr. Amaru said the situation in Jaracaranga was now under control. And in Chile, a very inspiring response. We'll play it in the background as I talk about it. But as we see in Chile, while supporters of the fascist regime of General Pinochet were trying to put on a commemoration, hundreds of Chileans, indigenous folks, and many others, ordinary Chileans, students, we had everyone going after the police who were on horseback. We see a full attack on the police forces with rocks, just hurling rocks. Get these animals off these horses. There's riot dogs in the crowd just going after the police who are in full riot gear on top of these horses. Driving them back and back and back, showing that fascism is not cool, letting the neoliberal state in Chile know that there will be no commemoration of the fascist regime of Pinochet at any point. They drive them back. This video goes on for 11-12 minutes. At one point, we see one of the horses collapse as the officer on top gets hit with a rock, falls off, and is just attacked by others. What is interesting to note, you know, while the Chileans and the indigenous are pushing back this crowd of police, they are not taking out tasers, they are not taking out guns, because they are the people. These people in Chile, They are the working class that are hired. They're not making $150,000 or $120,000 or $100,000 or $80,000 a year as the police in North America are. They are people from the working class that remain working class. They don't want to have to fight. It's only under the fascist dictatorships where these cops are empowered or emboldened enough to actually attack. Here in this video, we just see them driving back. They're being attacked by rocks, big boulders, being hit time after time again with sticks, being dropped off their horses by this resistance movement. But they know they're the people. They know that the people that are attacking them, these cops know that the people that are attacking them are their brothers or sisters. And they're not going to fight back violently because, well, while there is a fascist takeover and a neoliberal spread, many of the police don't want to attack their brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, those that do will be dealt with appropriately.
Thank you.
AWOL Radio here, 100.3. Resistance to the colonial neoliberal capitalist rule across the world. We're talking about it. We've been talking about it. We're going to a song. Dead Prez versus the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. Hip Hop versus War. On AWOL Radio. AWOL Radio is on the Rabble Podcast Network, rabble.ca/podcast.
Your brain, I know better than that. That's game, man, we ready for that. Two soldiers headed pack. Matter of fact, who got the gun? And where my army at? Rather attack and not react. Back to beats, it don't reflect on how many records get sold on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But the old projects put on hold in the real world. These just people with ideas. They just like me and you with a smoking camera. Disappear again, the real world. It's bigger than all these fake records. Way Popo got the millions and my woman's disrespected. If you check 1-2, my word of advice to you is just relax. Just do what you got to do. If that don't work, then kick the fact that you a fighter, rider, bada, flame igniter, crowd exciter, or you wanna just get high and just say it. But then if you a lie, pass on fire, wolf cry, agent with a why, I'm gonna know it when I play it. It's bigger than
hip-hop. It's bigger than hip-hop.
Who shot Biggie Smalls? If we don't get them, they gon' get us all. I'm down for running up on them in they city hall. We ride for y'all, all my dogs, stay real. Don't think these record deals gon' feed your season, pay your bills, because they not. MCs get a little bit of love and think they hot. Tell my how much money they got. All y'all records sound the same. I'm sick of that fake thug R&B rap scenario. All day on the radio, same scenes in the video. Not in this material, y'all don't hear me though. These record labels slang our tapes like dope. You could be next in line and sign and still be writing rhymes and wrote. You'd rather have a Lexus or justice, a dream or some substance, a beam or a necklace or freedom. Tips like me don't play, I just stay awake. It's real hip hop and it don't stop till we get the popo off the block. They call it
hip hop.
We keep it crunk up, John Blaze. DP's got that crazy shit. We keep it crunk up.